Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Sean Cantwell, your local alternative, Solid State Radio. Glad to have you on board. We've got a big old loaded baked potato of a show for you today. A lot of stuff. Certainly the Lions are going to be the big thing that we end up having to get you off the jump today because, of course, first home playoff game in approximately forever. And they're going up against the Rams in a game full of storylines and whatnot. And really, I want to get from you guys, from Adam, if he's in today. You know, I kind of want to know where everyone's at when it comes to, do you think this team can win on Sunday? How confident do you feel in them? Are you panicking a little bit? And a question as it relates to this game on Sunday and three letters that we're very familiar with here in Lions fandom. We'll do all that, and I'm sure we've got plenty of other stuff to jump in on as well. The coaching carousel continues to spin. Another couple coaches got fired today. We'll get into all of it, and I'm sure a lot more over the next three-ish hours or so. It is Happy Hour at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. The Racketeers at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. Let's get into the Lions, shall we? Because you've got a game coming up Sunday night. Your first home playoff game in about forever, and you're taking on your former QB, your former franchise QB, and his new team, and you're taking on your current QB's former coach, with whom it was not exactly an amicable parting of ways. A lot of storylines going into this thing, of course, but I'm concerned, at least in this moment, about the actual the football side of it, like the actually how are these teams going to perform on the field and how concerned are you? And I know this always seems to come back into some like SOL-like thing because it always does. It seems that you really can't talk about the Lions and pretty much anything they do without at least the cursory acknowledgement of SOL. Like you're just not allowed to get around that under any circumstances. And if you're worried about this Sunday's game, and I feel like a lot of people are, for a lot of different reasons, I mean, it's certainly concerning that you're most likely not going to have Sam Laporta. We won't know that until probably about 4 on Friday when the injury report comes out for this thing. We're not going to know for sure. But it certainly doesn't appear that we're going to have arguably the most dynamic weapon that Jared Goff has at his disposal. Your defense, well, we know what your defense is. Your defense let Nick Mullins put up nearly 400 yards on you twice this season. There's a lot of things that seemingly will not go your way in this matchup. But there's a few things that I also feel that we're kind of forgetting here. The Rams defense ain't all that great either. Now, admittedly, the difference here, Matt Stafford has arguably better weapons than you do. I mean, Puka Nacua, who just came out of nowhere when Cooper Kupp got injured and proceeded to go on and be, like, the best receiver in the game. Like, you thought it was bad enough getting torched by Justin Jefferson against the Vikings? The Rams have two of those. You have Cooper Kupp and Nacua, who is putting up just Madden-like numbers here this season. He's put up almost 1,500 yards. And you still have Cooper Kupp doing Cooper Kupp things after he came back from injury. There's a lot there. He's got arguably the best wide receiver duo in the National Football League. I'm not necessarily saying the two best wide receivers, but the best 1-2 punch out of anybody in the field. I don't think too many people are going to argue that. Now, you've got a guy on your team who has more yards than either of those two, of course. In fact, your top two receivers have more yards than their top two. The problem is, one of those, Laporta, isn't necessarily a given to go this week. And Josh Reynolds has a good 600 yards this season, too, so it's not like he's exactly a slouch by any stretch of the imagination. But to me, it seems more, the more I look at it, like, the Lions are the Rams are the Lions, really. Like, both your defenses, not great. QBs who can play at an elite level, under pressure, get kind of happy feet, make stupid decisions. They're throwing to a couple of the best receivers, granted, in our case, one is a tight end, but two of the great wide receivers. I would argue that, Kyren Williams, as far as rushing, as far as running backs go, he's produced quite well this season. But Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs have been no slouches either. Like, there's a lot of similarity here between these two squads, and honestly, what I expect to happen ultimately is for this to be kind of a shootout-style game. Like, I imagined what you saw against the Chargers, where both teams were just going to run the score up like crazy, and that whoever ends up with the ball last is going to be the team that wins it. Like, that's about how I see this playing out realistically. And if you can keep yourself on the good side of that, preferably with a well-timed pick of some sort, and this is a team that has been surprisingly good at making that happen lately, force a turnover in there somewhere and good things will happen. And I think you'll end up on the winning side of this thing. I know a lot of people are worried about it, especially not having Laporta. You kind of know what you're getting into here with this team. I feel like what you're going to have to do is similar to how you play the other Los Angeles team when you faced them earlier this year. And while the Laporta thing's a concern, while your defense giving up big plays is absolutely a concern, I feel like so much of this is not just related to the present of this team and based on how things have played out this season, but I feel like there's still a lot of SOL coming into play here. I feel like there's a lot of people who are still just so convinced that, bad things are going to happen to us because it's the Lions and that's how this goes, that's getting into their heads a bit and factoring into a lot of people wanting to predict doom and gloom for the Lions going into Sunday's game. And don't get me wrong, absolutely having Laporta would do a lot to, I feel like, to really assuage a lot of people's concerns with this team. No doubt about that. But I'm also not going to sit here and be like, UK absolutely cannot win this game if Laporta doesn't play. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's necessarily fair to the rest of this team by any means. And it's not like you don't have guys on the roster even that could fill at least some of what Laporta does. I mean, Donovan Peoples-Jones, you haven't had him do a whole lot since he got here. He could be your option in the slot, really, where Laporta has basically fill that role. You can see Josh Reynolds out wide. Like, there are certainly options that exist on your roster that could very well, maybe not fill the shoes of Laporta entirely, but could at least be functional enough to do what you need to do on Sunday night and have the added bonus of, teams haven't seen these guys play in this scheme this season, so the added element of surprise might actually be a little bit to your advantage. Is Happy Hour, your local alternative, is Solid State Radio. Jeff Buckley, your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is Happy Hour. He's Adam Harahawk. I'm Sean Cantwell. Want to judge some people? We're really good at that.
Yes, we are savants, actually.
I would even say the best at judging people. Like, it's the one thing on this show we consistently do well, because it certainly isn't doing sports talk.
Right.
I would say it's absolutely judgment. So let's go ahead and judge some people, shall we?
We shall.
Do a little bit of Am I the A-hole? Yes, the Open for Discussion boys are back. I don't care. I'm still doing the bit.
It was good to see. I mean, do we ever have a plan of when they're showing up, or they just kind of like...
No, we don't have a clue. They tell, we're taking the whole month of December off, and Like, okay, fine. Maybe we'll see you in 2024. Who knows?
I just want to put a mariachi band in there sometime between Sunday 6 to 9. So when they show up, hey, what's going on? Well, we rented out the space. We didn't think you guys were going to be here anymore. So these guys rehearse here every Sunday. You guys can go ahead and coexist. Go ahead. Do your show. I dare you.
Good. How are you fitting a mariachi band in that studio, though? Yeah. I mean, it's a closet that works fine for what we do with it, but it's still a damn closet, man.
If you can move a mariachi band around a table at Chi-Chi's, I think the studio would be just fine.
Chi-Chi's is a little bit bigger than.
Is there even Chi-Chi's around anymore?
I think they're out of business.
They're all out of business. That sucks.
I believe
I miss
so.
Chi-Chi's.
Chi-Chi's is okay.
I miss Bennigan's. Anyway.
There's a rabbit hole we could spend the next 3 hours going down. coming up next, Sean and Adam make plans to go broadcast from the last hot now in the country.
Dude, I'm so there.
There may be a road trip this summer. This might just have to happen, and we're going to get him to realize, you know what, these burgers really sucked. I don't know what we were so nostalgic for.
They probably changed them since the early 90s, but yeah, I mean... I can go for a double olive burger. They used to just slather with mayo. I'd destroy one right now.
God, everyone around here was like that was a huge thing here. The olive burger.
Yeah.
And I don't get it. Like I like olives. I like burgers. I don't necessarily need them together.
And there's a lot of people that agree with you, but me, I love olives on salads and burgers and
on salads absolutely. On tacos absolutely.
Green olive, yeah. I've never.
Oh no! I'm thinking black olives.
Yeah, black olives on the taco. Yeah, green olives. I guess I like green olives, so I would dig it.
Green olives on pizza, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely, green olives on pizza.
Like they're tasty. They're bundy, salty little bundles of goodness, man.
One of my favorite olive stories was my dad was making us laugh. He put olives in his eyes, so he looked like an alien. He's like, "Take me to your leader," and then for like 10 minutes, he's trying to get the salt out of his eyes.
Yeah, that'll do it to you.
All right, anyway. Okay.
Yeah, we'll judge some people coming up. We've thrown away this segment. Here's Marvelous 3, your local alternative Solid State Radio. Filter at Solid State Radio. It's happy hour. Hey, Adam, ready to judge?
Yes, I am.
Judge, jury, and executioner?
I am now presiding, yes.
All right, let's do a little bit of Am I the A-Hole, shall we?
Okay.
Am I the a-hole for not giving my coworker my day off because I want to play a video game?
Well, what did the coworker need the day off for?
Okay, and that's where I had a feeling you were going to go with this, and that's going to come up here. So, anyone in the video game world knows next week the new Legend of Zelda game comes out after like 5 years of waiting. I'm a massive fan. When the release date was revealed, I immediately requested PTO for that date as I plan on staying home that day and enjoying the new game. What I didn't realize that the day I asked off for is the Friday before Mother's Day. My company has had to limit the requests off for that date now, as many people have been asking off for it. I had previously told some of my coworkers I was planning on staying home to play the game, and I guess word got around because one of my other coworkers asked me after work to give her my PTO so she can travel for Mother's Day. I explained to her I requested this day off months ago for a specific reason and wasn't willing to change it. She got upset with me, claiming I care more about video games than family and whatnot. I honestly don't really care about her not being able to travel, because I feel like if it was that important of a date, you would have requested it off early, like I did. Anyways, I firmly told her no, but she told some of my other coworkers, and they're pissed at me and calling me an a-hole for not giving up the date. Am I the a-hole?
No, because, I mean, she thinks you should care about her family? No, that's not how this works. PTO, the P stands for personal. Now, had it been something like, okay, I want to stay home and play the video game, and she's like, well, you know, my husband's having surgery that day, and I'd really kind of like to be there, for instance, I was supposed to have this week off, and then there was a coworker, she wanted the same week off, but she got denied because she had less seniority, but she had bought plane tickets, she had hotel reservations in Florida, and I was just planning on playing Zelda, but yeah,
well, GTA probably in your
GTA,
case.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, I'll switch with you. So I'm gonna be taking some vacation days next week. But it
seems like the ideal time to take vacation with you being all sick and stuff.
I know this would have been like the perfect time to take vacation, so I could just rest and recoup. But no, no, I guess no deed goes unpunished.
See, I'm the exact opposite. Like, I don't. The last thing I want to do is burn my vacation time off on being sick.
I know, right.
Like, that seems like a waste of perfectly good days off to just sit at home and be miserable when I could go to work and also be miserable and get paid for it.
Yeah, but this guy brings up a good point. If she, if it was that important to her, she should have like put out the time long in advance. She should have like thought ahead, and it's not for his mother. Why should he care about his mother? And
yeah, you care more about video games than you do about family. Correct. I care more about video games than I care about your family.
Exactly. And it's not like there's not going to be another Mother's Day next year.
I don't know. I've heard this might be the last one.
Yeah, Hallmark's just like, you know what? We're shutting this one down.
We're shutting the whole holiday down. Yeah, that'll do. You didn't buy enough of our stupid trinkets and cards. That's it. Mother's Day's canceled. Yeah.
Just mothers is, oh, no. What am I going to do without the handmade macaroni paintings and just the coupon book that they never comes to fruition?
Right? They've never actually come. I don't think any kid who's ever gifted one of those. And, like, that's, which is admittedly, I've never done that, the coupon thing, because it's like, I know I'm never going to actually do any of these things, and I don't want to actually have to fulfill the promises I've made. Under-promise and over-deliver.
The cynical Cantwell household, he just, Sean just hands it to his mother because it was like some project at school, and she's like, who are we? You gave it to me. I'm just going to put it right in the trash. Yeah, I understand, Mom. Okay, happy Mother's Day. Yeah, yep, see you later.
Basically, yeah. We're a realistic family, if nothing else, and possibly nothing else.
Yeah, I'm leaving, Mom. All right, don't get anybody pregnant. All right, bye-bye.
But see, this is where you made your first mistake, I'll tell you right now.
Yeah.
Is by telling your coworkers why you were taking that day off.
Hey, it doesn't
matter. Like they need to know like it was any of their damn business.
He can go ahead and talk about it, and he wants. It's a personal time, and he could be like, you know what? I took the day off just so I could stare at a houseplant for 24 hours straight. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it's for.
That's fair, but you honestly, I feel like should have seen this coming. Like when you start talking, I'm just taking off the day to play a video game. Yeah, I mean, is it a valid reason? Sure. Are you going to get judged by everybody else when, you know, it ends up being kind of a big day for someone and all of a sudden they're sitting not being with their mom for Mother's Day or whatever, which, I mean, whatever, lack of playing on my part is not, or in your part is not an emergency on mine.
Right.
But I still say your first mistake was telling them why you were taking, like, they don't need to know that information.
Right. Yeah, and well, then there's an underlying, choose my words correctly here, not a racism or anything like that, but there's definitely what's the word I'm looking for? Judgmental against a bias against young guys who are not married without kids. Because for some reason, if you are unmarried with no kids, then you don't have any right to anything for family or anything like that. I don't know how many times. Like, I would ask for, when I was working third shift, mind you,
yeah,
I would want Halloween off because I was playing in a band and we were playing a gig that night.
Yeah.
And, well, a bunch of mothers like, well, I'm taking my kid out trick-or-treating, so I need the day off and not, and you should just have to work. So I had to sit one of these people down and I said, listen, you are going out trick-or-treating. Trick-or-treating ends at 8. We don't work until 10. I am playing a gig while working hours is going on, and I'm making money at it. So this is a convenience for you, a moneymaker for me. But like, well, you just don't understand because you don't have kids. I mean, I get it. I get it that you want to be there, but that's just.
But that's tough, again. You know, that's not, that time doesn't overlap. Like,
right.
So you can't go to work that night after you take your kid trick or treating.
Well,
because was this another third shifter?
Yeah.
Then I don't understand the issue.
Exactly, and they had to work, and I didn't. But that, and that's just fine with me.
It does seem like, no, you're right, though. There is that kind of that bias of sorts, like, because you're a parent, your time is more valuable, your time is more important,
uh-huh.
You are more important.
Yep.
And, yeah, for those of us who have chosen not to have crotch goblins, it's kind of, it kind of sucks at times, like all your questions, your choices get kind of, judge because you don't understand. You don't have children.
It's so frivolous.
I am more important than you.
Yeah, yeah. You want to go see? You want to go to a concert or a movie? That's so frivolous. Because you're a young person. You're unmarried. You have no kids.
Right. Which, and I in the past have certainly been willing to give up. You know, the family holidays. Like my traditional thing on that is, I'll work all the family holidays. I'll work. You know, when you work at a place that's open Thanksgiving, Christmas Day, whatever, I will work Thanksgiving, Christmas Day, Easter, whatever. Yep. None of these holidays, I mean, Easter has no significance to me whatsoever.
Yeah.
Christmas only does, you know, for, you know, the family stuff, but, like, I still manage to see people in and around that. Like,
yep.
You guys have the family holidays. I want my party holidays. Like, yeah. You're working Labor Day. You're working Memorial Day. You're working the 4th of July. I am not coming in on any of these days, and don't you dare call me on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Don't even think about it.
Unless they just uncapped a special brew, bottle of Jameson that I don't know about, you know.
Right.
Then, yeah. I mean, that's kind of the way I'm at, too. I work all the holidays. For the longest time, I wanted New Year's off, New Year's Eve off, and I wanted, when I was working third shift, I wanted New Year's Eve off, and I wanted St. Patty's Day off.
And I still want, I mean, I always want New Year's Eve off because I'm always playing a gig.
Right.
St. Pat's is the one that I take for me. Like, that one, Memorial Day and Labor Day, I take those for me.
See, I'll even work Labor Day. It's been so long since I've been invited to a barbecue or anything like that. If you ever get tired of being invited to barbecues, just date somebody with 7 kids. They think that you're going to take them everywhere you go. Those invitations will dry up.
Hey, I still invite you to things, jackass.
Oh, yeah, you do.
I invite you to all the things.
Yeah, I show up to ones I'm not even invited to.
Exactly. Don't you get after me on this nonsense.
I showed up on Christmas morning. Hey, guys.
Honestly, you probably could have, and like Rachel, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah, he's fine.
He's fine.
He's housebroken.
Right? For the most part. But no, there is absolutely that bias, like, towards, like, you're assumed that your life, your existence isn't important because you chose not to reproduce.
Yep.
So clearly, although I guess in this case, it's she's going to visit her mother, I guess, I would assume here. Like, I mean, do you really need, like, Mother's Day has always traditionally been on Sunday.
Yeah, flying out on Friday. Was that what it was? She's flying out on Friday?
I think so.
To go be with her or something
like
that.
Like, did you already buy the tickets? In which case, maybe you should have made sure you had the day off first.
Yeah.
Crazy thought, I know. Like, I don't plan anything till I know I for sure am going to have the day off for it.
Right.
Because it would be my luck that, you know, something's going to happen and I'm going to have to work. And that's just how that's going to roll. So, no, I'm going to absolutely say you are not the a-hole here. I don't care. You go and play your Legend of Zelda or whatever your stupid reason is for taking off of work. You go do it. You don't owe anybody an explanation on that.
Exactly.
Want to do another one of these?
Yes, I do.
Since we're having just
That would fired me up. Let's do this.
All right. Then I think we can absolutely do that then. Am I the a-hole for telling the parents I am willing to sell them my forgiveness? This is amazing.
You could do that?
Right. Yeah, no kidding. Things you wish you would have known.
All right, continue.
My parents expected me to be independent the minute I turned 18. They gave me the money they'd saved up for my education and immediately started charging me rent. I was lucky enough to have a partial scholarship, and I found a job in the city my university was in, so I moved there before the school year began. With my scholarship and my wages, I was able to scrape by. I rarely, if ever, spoke with my parents. I was kind of busy. I guess they decided they didn't want that kind of relationship with my younger siblings because they weren't presented with the same option. They both lived at home all through college and even afterwards. I'm 34 now with a decent job and a great girlfriend who I'll be marrying this summer. I sent my parents and siblings an invitation. They called to ask why they weren't involved in the wedding.
Involved.
I responded, well, you hadn't really been part of my life for the last 16 years, and I was being nice by inviting you. They said they acknowledged they made mistakes when I was younger, but it was in the past and I should get over it. Against my fiancé's advice, I sent them an itemized bill for everything I paid for myself that they freely gave my brother and sister. I said if they wanted to be a part of my life, they had to ante up. They said they can't afford that. We're still in debt from helping your siblings out. I laughed at that, said hoped I'd see them at the wedding, and hung up. My family are all getting a hold of me to let me know how much I'm hurting my parents. The thing is, I don't want their money. I don't want anything from them at all other than their attendance at my wedding. If they can't do that, I'm fine with our yearly phone call. Am I the a-hole?
Maybe, but you've earned the right to be.
I agree.
I mean, it's that's so deliciously evil.
It is. I love it. I absolutely love that about it.
Oh man, that's some petty. That's awesome.
That's the kind of petty that I'm here for.
Well, 100%. Yeah, because I mean, charge you rent at 18. I mean, this must have been a long time ago because the idea of somebody moving out at 18, there's just no financial way to, you can do that. I mean, you're legally an adult, but unless you're moving in with like four other people,
yeah.
And I mean, imagine the parties, but you know.
Well, sure.
It's, I don't know, an itemized bill. It's too bad that in the letter they didn't give you, they actually like clip on the itemized bill. Here's everything that you paid for my siblings and not me. And then after that, we're good. Here's my PayPal.
I mean, isn't that kind of the first child thing too? Like, you know, your siblings basically get away with murder.
Yeah.
And like you had to, you know, had to pay your, like, you got charged rent to live in your own your folks' house, and yet none of this applies, and they're still paying for you to live somewhere after you move out, even, or something.
Well, I mean, it doesn't sound like they, I mean, he flat out says he doesn't have much of a relationship with them since college up until now, and it doesn't sound like they really did much to bridge that gap.
No, not at all.
So, I mean, I don't know what happened there. I mean, I mean, was he born as a mistake? You know, were they at a party in the 80s and got together and end up having him and they resent him or something like that? But
you kind of got to wonder.
I mean, yeah, he did the right thing inviting them to the wedding. But I mean, to be involved, how much involvement in this ceremony did you plan on being when you aren't even involved in my life?
Right. And I am already not a big fan of, like, how involved do we really need outside people to be? Because remember, and I've said this on this show so many times, the second you let people start getting involved and let them start, you know, throwing money towards things, that's when they decide that they get to decide how your wedding's going to go.
Oh, yeah.
Don't give people control if you don't want them to have that control.
Yeah.
So just don't give them the control ever.
I am stupefied by how many times we talk about weddings and people and outsiders feeling, and I'll put parents in the outsider column, absolutely.
Well, yeah, they're not the people, anyone who's not the people actually getting married.
Yeah, that they actually think that they're going to dictate what happens in their weddings. I've seen it happen when I used to DJ weddings. I've seen it where just outsiders go, oh, well, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. And a lot of times the bride and groom, they're like young, they don't know what they're doing. So, okay, I guess this is what we're doing.
Right.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Here's the parents that hasn't been really in this guy's life for 16 years and say they want to call the shots. No, you're not calling any shots.
You don't get to call anything.
Yeah, you get to sit in the front. You're going to have your own table at the reception. Other than that, shut up. Bring a gift. Bring a nice one.
Right. Maybe bring something to make up for the fact that you've really not been present in his life up to this point.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Why don't you think of something really cute to give something?
Charge him rent for the table.
Yeah. $50 an hour.
Exactly. I think that's fair.
Exactly.
Yeah, you are not in any way, shape, or form the a-hole here, man. Like, the parents are absolutely even the itemized thing, like, is that levels of petty that even I can't comprehend? Sure. Is it entirely justified? Hell yes.
Well, yeah, because I mean, there's that petty kind of knife in the back, kind of, or in the front in this case. But it's also a way for him to kind of therapeutically write everything down. This is all the stuff that I've taken care of myself. That you took care of for my siblings and not me. You made the conscious decision to leave me alone on this, and lay it out for them. This is what you left me to pay for on my own.
No, absolutely. Like, it's more cathartic than anything, I'm sure. Like, I'm not going to call that an a-hole move. Absolutely not.
No.
Like, So that's it. You're not going to be involved in the ceremony. You're not walking down the aisle or whatever. Like, your guest, nothing more, nothing less. Like,
Right.
If you show up, cool. If not, then, well, nice knowing you, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there might be a groom, mother of the groom dance or something like that, but that's for me to decide, you know, and you just hang out.
Nope, there's not even going to be that.
Are you making a choice for his wedding?
Yes, absolutely I am. Yeah, don't let your parents make the decisions about your wedding. Let some a-hole radio DJ do it instead.
There you go.
Here's Paramore at Solid State Radio. Death Cab for Cutie at your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And I've got something rather interesting over here for you.
Sure, okay.
So there's a list that has come out. The top six relationship red flags to look out for. Surprisingly, cheating is not one of them.
Oh, really? Number one, he works in radio. Oh, okay, yeah, that's a big red flag. Number two, he plays in a band. Oh, geez. Oh. Number three, he wears khaki shorts in the middle of winter. Oh, yeah, there we go.
Number four, he works at a bar.
Yeah, ding, 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 ding.
Wow, four of the six.
Yeah, but that doesn't...
How did you know?
That just attracts more women. They're like, oh, I can change him.
Yeah, that's what this one thought, too.
Yeah.
That did not... That, as it turns out, did not happen.
Yeah, no.
But, no, so a list of six red flags that most men and women see as deal breakers in romantic partners.
Okay.
Now, you'd think cheating would be one of them.
I would think so, yeah. Or maybe they just consider that an obvious one, so it's not on there.
Yeah, that could be. So, the research looked at 285 undergraduate students in the U.S. with an average age of 22. Participants completed two rating scales. The mate value scale, a 22-item inventory of desirable traits rated by importance, and the socio-sexual orientation inventory, a rating of how open they were in relationships.
Okay.
So here are the telltale signs that people should be wary of when seeking a healthy, committed relationship, being sexual or platonic.
Okay.
The six traits that were considered the most jarring warning signs for a doomed love match were being apathetic, gross, unmotivated, promiscuous, clingy, and addicted, meaning someone who's had an alcohol or substance problem, and or a criminal past. Being apathetic, inattentive, uncaring, untrusting, and dismissive of interests was considered the biggest red flag for both men and women.
Yeah, I mean, because if you're with somebody and you're talking about something that you're passionate about, or and they're just like, that's stupid. What I don't want that. You know, whatever. You just keep talking. Whatever. That's gonna. I mean, that shows that person is not even trying to meet you on common ground or get to know your interests or get to know you. So yeah, that's a red flag.
That seems fair. Although I mean, let's be honest, like. As far as the dismissive of interest, like, Rachel couldn't care less about sports.
Yeah.
And obviously that's a big part of what I do. And then likewise, she's also into, like, you know, like,
Harry
rock
Potter.
Well, rock hunting and stuff, which has less than zero interest to me. So, I mean, it's not always, but I mean.
But I think when they're talking about dismissive, I think it's kind of like, oh, rock hunting, that's stupid. You shouldn't do that.
I mean, that's also fair, I suppose. I mean, certainly inattentive, uncaring, untrusting. I mean, those are kind of big red flags. Really, untrusting could be in itself an issue. Like, that one should be a red flag in and of itself. Like, they can't trust you enough to, like, if anytime you're going out somewhere, like, oh, you're going to hang out with another woman or something, aren't you? Like, that to me would be a huge deal breaker. Thankfully, it is not something I've had to worry about as Rachel. For reasons unknown, completely and utterly trust me to make good choices, which is weird considering I do this for a living.
I've had to break up with somebody because I couldn't trust her, because it was just unfair to her. It was unfair to me. I back in the day of Yahoo Messenger, she accidentally left it logged in, and it was right there. And
she was getting flirty with other dudes,
getting flirty and talking about meeting up with them, and. Everything else, I found myself like checking the mileage on her car before I went go to work, and then checking it when it got back, and you know, I shouldn't have to feel that way, and she shouldn't have somebody to do that. That's why I was like, you know what, this isn't working.
I mean, if she's literally talking about meeting up with other dudes, that's kind of an issue in itself. I mean, that comes back to the cheating, clearly.
Well, I mean, it wasn't none of the thing in the chat was about really flirtatious, sexual, or anything like that, but it was meeting somebody she had just met. Online, at a bar, you know, in Detroit area. And it was like, and she wouldn't talk to me, she didn't talk to me about it. So it's obviously, there was nothing in the chat that was overtly flirting or sexual, but it was there.
Yeah, I'm probably dumping that person like immediately. Like you've already proven I can't trust you.
Yeah.
Like that's I mean, the apathetic is not good, but like I feel like the untrusting could be a red flag on top of a red flag in and of itself.
Yep. Absolutely.
The next and second place came someone being gross, meaning having poor hygiene, being unattractive, smelling bad, or having certain health issues like STDs. I mean, fair.
Yeah, being that might fall. Well, I mean, you don't have to be promiscuous to have an STD. There has been situations where.
Oh no, promiscuous is a separate one.
Yeah, I know, but sometimes they're all linked in together. It could be something simple as, I mean, I've heard of like women having an STD because her previous guy was whoring around all over the place and gave it to her.
Right.
Where she wasn't promiscuous, she wasn't, but you know, it still happened.
Sure.
So, but yeah, the non-bathing thing, not taking care of yourself. I guess that's for your partner to decide. What are they willing to put up with? Are you not going to take a shower every day? Okay, well, I got to decide if that's something for me.
Yeah, which that's definitely, like, that would be an issue, the not, you know, not bathing. Wow. Certainly wear deodorant, for the love of God. Like, that would be my base. Like, I don't want to smell your BO. Sorry,
it's not expensive. Put on a nice layer every once in a while.
Right. Like, I would expect that out of anybody. Like, I wouldn't go out in public, you know, smelling that way. I expect the person I'm with, you know, to do the same.
Right.
As far as the STD thing, like, I don't know. I do kind of draw a line there. Like, not even necessarily because it implies, you know, the promiscuous, just I don't want to have an STD.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's fair. But to look down on somebody because they have it, I mean, that's what I'm getting at. But yeah, definitely a red flag to end the relationship that, you know. Oh. Yeah,
there's looking down and there's just, I don't want to date someone who has an STD.
No, you got gonorrhea, syphilis. No, thank you.
Yeah, does not sound fun. Being clingy ranked third, which was seen by participants as covering controlling behavior and being too jealous. And, oh, buddy.
Yeah.
I've been there. Done it.
On which side? Were you too clingy?
Oh, no. I'm not the clingy type. Like, Rachel will tell you, I'm not necessarily what you'd call a clingy person, and neither is she. Like, we're both very insistent. Like, no, we still need to kind of live our own lives. Like,
yeah.
I usually get booted out of the house on Friday nights. I just want to sit home and read a book. Go away. Go to the bar with your friends. Like,
okay.
And she's entirely serious. Like, when a lot of women, I feel like just go out to the bar with your friends. You absolutely should not go out to the bar with your friends. She is not that way. Absolutely not.
Yeah, see, now this could go either way because there are people who are clingy, and then there's other people who you'll see situations like a guy will be like, oh, she's so clingy, bro. She wants to hang out with me every day. Well, yeah, she wants to be with you. It's not, but then there's clingy where I'm going to text you 20 times a day. I'm going to call you. I'm going to show up at your work. Where are you doing? What are you watching? Where are you going? Can I go with you? And
oh, 20 times a day was an understatement. So I have a stage 5 clinger story, Adam. Years ago, obviously pre-Rachel, there was a girl I was kind of seeing for a minute, and I worked days. This is still my pizza guy days.
Uh-huh.
So I'd be work, you know, consistently between like 10 and 4 or whatever most days. And there was one particular morning I came in. I was a driver at this point. My cook wasn't there. And there was a group. It was about my nightmare. 30 like kindergartner preschoolers are waiting outside the door of this pizza place. My cook is not here.
Oh, no.
And I wasn't informed. Oh, there's a field trip today.
To see pizza being made?
Actually, I might have known that there was a field trip going on. I can't remember now. Like, that part's a little fuzzy. So, yeah. No, they basically let them make their own pizzas, essentially.
What a crappy field trip.
You'd be surprised.
Most people get to go to the planetarium, go, you know, go to, like, you know, some fun land or something like that. And nope, you're going to be a everybody get in the back of the car. We're going to deliver this.
These are private school kids, man. Like, oh, they yeah. were like they were all about it. And let's be honest, if you as a kid are getting presented with basically free pizza for lunch with whatever you want on it, like you're having a good old time with that.
Right. Yeah.
So I had to start getting into that like immediately, and it was already a busy day on top of that. And the owner showed up, and I saw deliveries and things to run, and this girl was just blowing up my phone.
No.
Like, at one point, I got a text, you know, talk to me today? Like, you know, remember, I've got 30 preschoolers running around my pizza joint right now, and I'm trying to, like, do actual work? Like,
hey, boys like, and girls, this one's called a Step 5 Clinger. We're all going to record your voices saying, back off, lady, and then we're going to send it to her. This is going to be fun.
And then she give like so like oh my god I'm so sorry like then just proceed to beg for my forgiveness for the next 3 hours. It's like, Jesus Christ, can I work without you just blowing up my everything? And then when I didn't respond, you know, there were times when I wouldn't respond. She would message my friend. She's like, she'd message Wes.
Oh God.
Yeah, he was kind of an unwilling part. Accomplice to this story too.
I can just imagine him at that time, at that age, just contemplating sticking his tongue in a toaster just to see what happens. And luckily, the phone rang.
Basically, yeah. I mean, there's a lot to that, but that was probably my worst. Like, I've dealt with the stage five clinger. I don't do well with them at all.
No.
Like, I'm sorry. You got to have a life outside of me, because I'm definitely gonna have one outside of you.
Yep, I mean those women are men and women are out there, but there's also the ones on the side where it's like they're not really clingy. They just want your attention, and the member of the relationship who doesn't really want to commit sees that as clingy. So I guess it's clingy is in the eye of the beholder.
I don't know. I think mine was absolutely.
Oh, like, yours was a clinger.
Is just. Objectively clingy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Other major red flags in long-term relationships include some sort of addiction.
Yeah.
I can't see dating someone who's an addict. Hey, give me a beer.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, like, I mean, obviously, I drink. I drink a lot. You know this. I mean, I drink a lot other than, like, right now.
Right.
And Rachel likes to drink too. I wouldn't consider either one of us. I mean, okay, I consider me an alcoholic, probably. Certainly not her. But like, even beyond that, like, I don't think I couldn't date someone who does like hard drugs. Like, I couldn't date someone who does coke.
I mean, it's so rough because it's so dangerous to their health. It's so dangerous for their safety, because you're dealing with like a lot of sketchy people, and bringing that to you. Like, my dad would always say, you mess with dirt, you're going to get some on you. I mean, you don't want to have somebody in your car with anything like that and get pulled over and, you know, please take your car. And you're basically guilty by association.
You don't want to, you also don't want to have someone ODing while they're with you either.
Yeah.
You don't want to, like you don't want to deal with, oh, they got some bad, like, drugs of some sort. Oh, there's fentanyl in that. Oh my God, I don't just carry Narcan on me.
Right.
Well, we have a problem now.
Yep. I mean, that's that kind of addiction. I mean, it could also be a food addiction. The person's, you know, constantly having to go out to eat and everything else. But
I mean, okay, I can't judge that because I am that guy. I like food, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Yep.
Especially right now, like, I'm not drinking. I got to have something, right? I can't not. Like, no, like, I can, if you like to smoke weed, I'm fine with that.
Yep.
Whatever. Don't care.
But if they're about to meet your parents for the first time, maybe not smoke a bowl.
Let's not smoke a bowl in the car on the way down.
Just know, there's
I don't care if they know that you smoke weed.
Yeah. There's a sign between addiction and being able to maintain is that you know that there's a time and a place for it.
And also that you're able to still function when you need to. I mean, there is that. But yeah, anything harder than weed, like, if, I don't care what it is. Like, you're doing coke, heroin, Adderall, whatever. I don't care. Like,
right.
I can't. I can't date because I have come across too many of those kind of people in the wild that like it's not a personality type that I can deal well with in any setting, much less in a dating setting.
Right.
You know how you scare yourself off of ever wanting to do that stuff. Hang around with people who do that stuff while you're sober. Trust me. You can probably scare you off of drinking, really.
I've been around people when I'm sober, and it gets rough because everybody's like, "What's your problem? Why aren't you laughing and acting like a fool?"
Exactly. Lack of motivation, ambition, and financial prospects.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, that can be real rough because if you want to have a long-term relationship with somebody and you want to make a life with them, yeah, they gotta have some sort of gumption to, you know, wanting to, you know, make money, make a life for yourself, get out of the house, have some sort of, you know, something to have in their life that gives them pride.
You could argue motivation or ambition for me depending on the day, really, because, I mean, we know what I am and what I do and what I'm trying to do. Like, you could argue for me motivation, ambition. Financial prospects, I work in radio, so those aren't existent.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, and I'm sure what the writer is talking about is, you know, somebody who's like, not, because I've been with women who just wanted to be a housewife. And they, I had one.
We talked about that on the show last week.
Yeah. One said, "I don't care how many jobs you want, you have to get, I'm going to be a housewife." And the funny part was, she couldn't keep a house. She couldn't cook. She couldn't clean.
Yeah, I can't. I couldn't. Like, and nor could, like, Rachel would never stand for that. Like, if I came to her like, "Rachel, you know, I think I just need to be a house husband."
Yep, be a house husband.
Get the out. That's what she's telling me. I guarantee it.
Yep.
And she would never do that. Like, she, like, for one, I know she'd go crazy just, you know, being around the house all day. Even if that was the decision, if she were to do something like that, I don't think I'd want to do it either. Like, I'd have to go do something. Like, there's no way I could just sit around and live the life of luxury or whatever. Like, I'd still have to do this. Like, there's no way around that.
Yeah.
So, like, that
creative thing, outlook. Yeah.
Yeah. Thankfully, that's not an issue. The financial prospects may be my case a little bit.
Yeah.
And then the other one was being promiscuous, meaning having sex with or having dated many other partners. I don't really care about that. I mean, maybe I'm weird like that. I'm not one who's naive enough to operate on the assumption that, you know, any girl that I'm ever going to date has never had a relationship or had sex with anybody else ever. Yes. I feel like that's unless it ties into the STD thing.
Yeah.
That's the only place where, okay, maybe that's an issue. But other than, like, I don't care.
Right. Yeah. Whatever happened before your relationship was before, and now it's, I mean, unless the writer's talking about being promiscuous, like flirting, you know, you're out at a restaurant and she's flirting with the waiter, or she's flirting with this guy. And
it doesn't sound like that's what, like, they're specifically relating to previous romantic or sexual partners.
All right. Yeah. I mean, unless she banged your dad, don't worry about it.
Right. I don't care. I'm not going to judge you for your, you know, whatever partners you might have had before me, if you don't judge me for the none that I had before you. Like, I don't, like, I don't care. Not really a thing, I guess, in my world. While men and women seem to have similar opinions on red flags and long-term relationships, they differed on which one was more of a deal-breaker to them was promiscuity or lack of motivation. Women viewed an unmotivated partner as worse. Men said being promiscuous was worse because, of course, they did.
Well, yeah, because men want to feel like they're the only ones in there. If men could find a beautiful, hot woman who's never heard of sex before, that would be the dream. And on the other side, if a woman was able to find a guy who was a doctor, lawyer, rock star, but still had every moment available to take her out whenever she wanted, she'd be perfect.
Right. The of course it would be men. It would be that way because, you know, if a dude has sex with a lot of girls, that, like, that's awesome. Like, yeah, go you.
Yeah.
A woman does it, she's a slut.
Yeah.
Like, the slut shaming thing, I never got that. Who doesn't love sluts? I mean, come on. Come on, really.
What's the old Chinese proverb? If a
a key can unlock many locks. It's a master key. But if many keys can unlock the same lock, it's just a bad lock. So I don't.
Right.
I don't know.
There is absolutely a double standard there.
There is a lot of women out there who will not hang out with unmotivated men. They want a man who is successful. I tried to date this one woman, and when she would talk about her exes, she never mentioned them by name. It was always by their profession. And when like
the doctor, the lawyer.
And then you know, you hear women, they'll talk about, "Oh, I met somebody. Oh, what does he do? What does he do as a job?" "Oh, well, you know, he's writing a book. He's going to start a disc golf club or something like that." Oh, Tiffany, no, you got to get rid of them.
Right. I mean, I can't say anything. I didn't exactly set my wife up well for future encounters with with anybody. Like, well, so what does your guy do for a living? He's a radio DJ.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even like to tell people that's what I do for a living. I'm sure she doesn't.
I'm in the media entertainment business.
I'm in the entertainment industry.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, that's the ticket.
No, she's probably like, "Oh, yeah, he works at Cass. He's a bouncer. You ever see Roadhouse? Oh, I love Patrick Swayze. Yeah, that's what Sean does."
I mean, that is part of the job, certainly. Thankfully, I don't have to bounce nearly as often as Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse. Thankfully. That's not a good time for anybody.
No, it is not.
It's happy hour. It's Solid State Radio. Yellow card at your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's happy hour. He's Adam Hirahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. So have you officially announced the next Sessions concert series yet?
No, I'm going to be announcing both of them this weekend, but I can go ahead and clue people in on the next one. It's going to be over at Cascade and Lounge. Heat Above is going to be there. You remember them.
I do remember them. They killed it, Lapeer Days.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be there. I've got Today's Okay out there. Have you heard their version of Toxic by Britney Spears?
I have.
It's intense. I like it a lot. And then there's a new band that Today's Okay kind of turned me on to called, something AI. I can't remember what it's called.
Living AI or something?
Living AI. Thank you. Hopefully none of them are listening to the show right now. They're just like, "Oh, great. Yeah, he loves us so much, he can't remember our damn name."
No one listens to this show.
Living,
it's okay.
Living AI. And they put out some really good stuff. I saw some footage of them playing the Sanctuary and some other venues around town.
Oh, the old Paychex.
Yes. And just a really interesting band. And I've got them starting off the night. It's going to be on Saturday, February 17th. No tickets to buy, no coverage. Just come on in. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm planning on making an appearance there.
Good.
I'm going to be fully back in the drink and swing of things by then. And
I'm making up for lost time, probably.
Oh, absolutely. Like, yeah. Rachel already knows. Like, you're probably going to have to drive me and Adam home that night. Just letting you know now, just putting it out there.
Yep.
That's probably what's going to happen.
The previous day, I'm going to be taking, I won't be doing an interview because that will be Dorothy's birthday. So, and if I'm doing this on Saturday, so I'm going to be brown nosing her on Friday.
Smart man. Yep. No, absolutely. Good going on your part. Do I just need to plan on you just not being there at all Friday so you can really go out wine and dine?
You know what? That would help me out immensely.
I will see what I can do. You owe me a shot or five once we get to Cascade and South.
Yep.
It is happy hour at your local alternative Solid State Radio. Happy hour at your local alternative Solid State Radio. That is going to about do it for us this afternoon. But stick around, a full hour of is it tax fraud talk tonight? Or
we're going to be talking about famous birthdays that happened on February 29th because it is a leap year, and we're going to be celebrating. We're going to be calling people at random who were born on February 29th and wishing them a happy birthday.
Sounds like a great time. No, a full hour of local original music is coming your way next on a little show we like to call Sessions. All being well, talk to you tomorrow at 3. See ya.